All right, we're gonna start here at the top of Edamon Aleph. There's a statement here. Amar Abzera, Amar Shmuel. Libin Sakin, he heated up a knife. Vishachat ba shchita to kshera. And then he does the shchita with this hot, hot knife. Shchita is good. Chiduda kodim libuna. The sharpness of the knife cuts through the simanim before the heat does. So the shkita is being done by the sharpness of the knife, not by the heat of the knife. That's not what's causing the problem. Mar says, Vayikat Stadim. What about the sides? Forget about the sharpness of the knife when it cuts. Fine. So the knife gets there first. The sharpness of the knife gets there first. So the shkita is good. But what about the simanim to the side? Because the problem, which is, for instance, when one is slicing into the simanim, go into veshet, and then the kaner, and the veshet, and you're going through the veshet is pasul benikuf, the simple hole in it. So if I am cutting through the simon, and the knife is hot and somehow it burns the siman on the side, that means that's the size of a nekev. It's a nekev. And Tosus points out over here that mashmikan b'shat shchita nikeva veshet keneged mashashachat shreifa. That even though the nekev is right next to where I cut, so technically once I've cut through this, why should it matter if there's a hole along this horizontal line? Why should it matter? Well, that's what you see from the Gemara, that it does matter. If a veshet gets a hole in it while you're doing the shchita, that's posel. It's not after he's finished the shkita, he's while he's doing the shkita. He hasn't completed the shkita. That'll make it a treifa before the shkita is done. He hasn't completed the two simanim. That's the problem here. So here you have the heat on the sides of the knife will affect the veshet before you complete the cut through. So that's where it says, Beit HaShchita Mirvach Rovach. As he slices through the Beit HaShchita, you can see here in the picture, it widens. The Beit HaShchita separates from the knife, and therefore the sides of the knife, the heat of the knife, are no longer effective or problematic. In this case, they don't touch. They don't hit the veshet, they don't hit the simanim. So the sharpness of the knife already causes the Beit HaShchita to widen. By widening, then it prevents the problem of the heat of the sides of the knife touching the veshet on its way through, or touching the simanim on its way to create a treifa. So ibaylahu. So now the Gemara is going to go off on a sidebar here about Nigayim. Liben Shipud. Someone who heats up a staff, poker, vikabo, and then he hits his arm or someone's arm with it. What's the din? Is it Mishum Shchin Nidon? Or Mishum Mechveh Nidon? What's the din here when this poker hits the individual? What's the status of the wound that's left afterwards in terms of Tzarat? Now, there are two areas. The Gemara is going to lay this all out. I'll just give you the background. There are two areas of Tzarat that deal with wounds that are healing that have the Tzarat show up in them. That's Mechveh and Shchin. Shchin are wounds that come from anything that is heat or the power of the hit, but not from fire. As long as it wasn't from fire, the heat or the wound was not caused by fire. Rashi over here, it's interesting. Rashi seems to play back and forth between them. Rashi says it's heat, not from fire, but any hit, any impact from something, for instance, wood or a stone that hits an individual, that impact causes heat. Part of the wound is caused by that heat. That heat that causes a wound and then afterwards has the sima name of a nega, that's called shchin. He seems to be on the impact, but you're talking about his afterwards, which is true as well, that the healing process or the wound itself and the healing creates heat. There's also mechveh. Mechveh is like it sounds like. Anything that was hot because of fire attached to the individual and causes a wound, that wound in its healing process, if it turns into tzarat, that's called tzarat ha-mechveh. So that's what the Gemara wants to know here. He has this hot poker, and now he's hitting his arm with the hot poker. The question is obviously relevant because of what we just did. You have a sakin that was sharp and it cuts and it's hot. There we said that the sharpness of the knife cuts, the heat has no impact. So the same thing's true over here. When I deal with shchin mechveh, what impacted the individual? Now it depends. Rashi reads it that you hit across, you can see here, across the arm, and it was the flat of the poker that hit. Whereas the Rambam reads that it's the Gemara's question here is about the point of the poker that hit. Question here is, what did the damage? What caused the problem? Was the problem caused by the heat, or was the problem caused by the impact of the hit of the poker? Just like before, we asked, "What is the sharpness of the knife, or the heat?"
What do you call the impact?
The impact when it hits.
Yeah, if I don't take it and don't just put it down, nothing would happen.
It would burn. It's hot. It's hot.
That's what I'm saying. So it's the heat.
No, but then if I hit it fast, if I whacked hard, then maybe it's not the heat that's doing the damage. Maybe it's the hit. So Mara's going to lay out the whole question in more detail. So now Gemara says, okay, what is this? L'may nafkamina. Who cares? Let's start with that. Why does it matter if it's shchin or mechveh? That we start with the Gatanya. Shchin or mechveh mitam'im b'shavua echad b'shnei simanim b'seir levan u'pisayon. So this is, first of all, really should be, as Tosfos once said, Lashon should really be Tahor, but in Shavu Echad, that as opposed to all other Negayim, the Nega Shkin and Nega Mechver are only locked up for 1 week. You look at them at the end of the week, and you have a final decision at the end of the first week. All other Negayim at least have a second week, some have a third week, have a second week where if nothing happened in the first week, we leave you and you have to stay for another week until we can determine. The second thing is, Bipisayon means spreading. All Negayim have this. If the Nega spreads, then that's a Siman Tuma. In addition, Shechina Mekveh have a Siman Tuma, which is Se'ar Levan. White hairs grow in the Nega. So you lock up, the Shechina Mekveh are locked up for 1 week. He brings the Nega, he shows it to the Kohen. If there is no Se'ar Levan in it already, then he blocks him up for the week. At the end of that week, if it spreads, he's Tamei. If white hair grew in it, he's Tamei. If neither of those, he goes, and it's okay, it's fine. He gets let go, and he doesn't have to go through the whole tarat, the process of the mitzorah. He just has to go from a tarat, a mitzorah musgar, not muklat. But that's it, he's done. Those have the exact same din. Shchin and Mechveh have the same din. Yet in the Torah, there are two parshiot written, one for Shchin and one for Mechveh. So, lama chilkana katuv, lomar, she'im mitztarfim zeim zeh. That's why they're separated, to tell you that they're not mitztarif. The din of a nega has to be the size of a gris. Gris is the size of a bean. What happens if you have a chatzi gris of one and a chatzi gris of the other? They're not mitzareif to make a single gris of a nega. That's what the importance of separating out the parshiot was. V'tanya. And we have a brayta. Now it's going to explain to us. Ezu shchin ve'ezu mechveh. What's the difference between them? So loko ve'etz. And the wound happened because of a blow from wood. Be'evin, or from stone. Begefet, from olive peat. I mean, this is from the leftovers, the dredges of the olives that heat up by themselves. Bichamei teveria, the chamei teveria, ubechol dovar shelo bachmat ha'ur. Anything that does not come because of fire. So this is la'atuye. What does that include? Aver mikaro, lead from where it was mined, where they mine the lead out. It's very hot over there. Zeushchin. All those wounds that are caused, and in the healing process, there becomes a nega, those are all classified as shchin. Tosfos points out over here, despite the fact that in the Gemara and Shabbos, there's a machlokas about chamei teveria, what the status is, there's a deyo there, Rabbi Yossi, who thinks that they are chamei ha'or, because they pass in front of petach gehenim, that they pass in front of petach gehenim where it's heated, and that's how they come up. Despite the fact that they're classified as chamei or b'shabbos over here, he would agree that they're not considered a chamei or because it's still or b'dei shamayim. We're not talking about or b'dei adam, we're talking about or b'dei b'shamayim, and shchin is relegated to that. Any heat that comes because a heated source because of something that happens naturally or because of an impact of a wound, those are considered shchin. The other hand, ezu mechveh. Mechveh is nich begachelet, with a live coal, beremetz, with hot ashes, besid roteach, boiling lime, begafsit roteach, boiling gypsum, ubechol davar ba machmata ur. Anything that comes because of fire, leatuye, to include chameor, anything that you have a pot, anything that's boiled on top of the fire, anything that's granted its heat through man-made fire, that will be classified as mechveh. Zui mechveh. Vitanya. Shchin u'mechveh, when it comes to the two of them, im shchin kodim le'mechveh, if the shchin precedes the mechveh, batel mechveh et ha'shchin. The shchin is mevatel the shchin. Vim mechveh kodim le'shchin. Then if the wound of the heat from the fire was before that of the shchin, the impact or the natural heat, batel shchin et ha'mechveh, it's mevatel it. So whatever happens second is mevatel. This goes to your question, David. So now I have this item that's been heated up, this hot poker, it's been heating up, and now it's hitting the arm. You have two wounds, there are two parts of the wound that are created. One is the impact of either whether it's the Rambam, which means that it was the point going in, or going to Rashi, it was across the arm, it was slapped across the arm, and the heat. Both cause a wound here. Very good. Right. So the difference between puncture and trauma, but the heat is there in both cases. Which came first? Which does damage first? Why do it matter? Because whichever comes second is mevato. So for instance, as Rashi points out here, if you have a wound that was caused by shchin non-fire, then afterwards on the same spot it gets burnt. That has a din of mechven. That's a chatzi gris. All of a sudden afterwards you get shchin, another wound right next to it of a chatzi gris. It won't be mitzdarif, because the mechveh that came on the first wound, that was a chatzi gris, cannot be mitzdarif to the second wound, which is now shchin. So based on that, what's the din over here? What's the din when it comes to this hot poker that's hitting? Which came first? The wound from the heat, the fire, or the wound from the impact, right, or the puncture, which came first? So that'll make a difference as to what the status of this nega is. So that's what the Gemara says. Acha, hechidami. What's the case over here? Go dava be chatzi gris shchin. He has a half a gris of shchin, which was the wound miyikara. And then he takes a shibud v'hikabo. And there's another chazir. My chavoto kodim va'ati havla umevatela. So I have a chatzi gris of a shechin that's already there from a wound that was from non-fire, right, non-fire related. I have a now a new chatzi gris that's created by this poker, this hot poker here. What is the status of this hot poker? Chavata kadim, the impact is what hurt, is does the damage first. Va'ati havla, and then the heat afterwards causes damage. Umevatela le chavata. And if the heat is second, it's mevatela chavata, and we're talking about a problem of mikveh, because mikveh is from the heat. V'havale shchin u'mikveh. You have shchin, which is the original chazigris. The mikveh now is the second. V'lo mitzdafim. Odilma, maybe it's the other way around. Havlo kodim. The heat does the wound first, does the impact first. V'hati chavoto u'mevatale the havlo. And then the impact of the poker hitting or the puncture of the poker is what causes the secondary wound. Then it becomes shchin u'shchin u'mitzdareif, and it will be mitzdareif. Where it says tashma. Damar Rabbi Zeira Mishmuel, this is what this is doing here. Quoting Rabbi Zeira Mishmuel is the first statement on the Gemara today. Li bein sakin v'shachat bashchitato k'sheira chiduda kodum libuna. So you see there that the wound or the cutting of the knife precedes the heat. Amoch avoto kadim. You see that impact is first. Gemara says chidud shiny. What are you talking about? Over there we're talking about the sharpness of the knife. When you're talking about the sharpness of the knife, you can't prove anything to me. It's true that the sharp. It's back and forth, correct. It's not an impact knife. Very good. So that's the chidud of the knife. The way the shkita is done, as well as the sharpness of the knife, are going to force it that the cutting is going to happen prior to the heat. But that's not true by the poker. By the poker, you're hitting either the side of the poker or the point of the poker is going in, but that doesn't mean that we have a cut that's happening before the heat impacts. So the Gemara says, Tashma, li bein shiput, hikabo, it hits up the poker and then hits with it, mishum michvatesh. The din here is that it has a din of michva, which means alma chavata kodim. That means that the impact from the blow is first, and the fire, the heat of the fire is only afterwards. Here's the answer to our question. It's exactly what we want to know. When it says, Hatam nami, de barzia mivras. So that it was barzia mivras, the hainu chidud. So now, the way that both Rashi and the Rambam read this is that it's the flat side of the poker that's going in. When we say that it's mivras baris, means that it wasn't the straight end of the poker, the flat end of the poker, but rather the point of the poker. But not necessarily that it's a sharp point. It could be the flat head of the poker that's going in, but mivras barzi, that's going in. The hainu chidud, that has the same din of chidud. And according to the Rambam, he may not have the gears of the hainu chidud, because before he was talking about it puncturing in the beginning. Over here he's talking about the flat end. But over here, mivras barzis means that it's opening it up. It punctures, it opens the hole, but because it's the flat side of the poker, over there we're talking about something different. There where clearly the impact happens first, because you're talking about the smaller end of the poker, and then only later does the heat then impact. When you head the other way around, the heat has equal quality or equal ability to come in first. So that's what Liben Shibur Vikabo Nidom Mishum Mikvadesh Ama Chavato Kodim. You see that the Chavato comes first. Adonai Lebarzi Mivras. The reason is because of the way that you're holding the poker, or the way the poker is coming in to damage the arm, which is the small end of the poker, the blunt end of the poker that's going in, that makes it for sure that the Chavato happens first, and then only then does the heat happen. But if you hit it according to the Rambam, if you go in with a point and you go in, maybe the heat comes first. And according to Rashi also, the same thing. If you go with the flat of the long end of the poker, maybe then there, it might be that the heat happens first. Yeah, so you have to leave that out. According to, that's what I just said before. According to the Amram's gear, so you have to leave out the word, Hainu Chidud. Rashi over here says, Umafarish Belaz, Rashi says, what's the Chidud? He says, point. The point. Clearly, the Rashash leaves out the gear of Chidud in order to avoid that problem. So that you won't have the lishon. And that word point is going back up of before. It says that it relates back to the chidud shiny. It's going on that chidud, not on the second chidud. Even though in our Rashi, Divrei Matzkil, it's going on the second chidud. Nevertheless, he moves it back. He moves that point back up to the word chidud earlier on and says that what we're talking about over here is not the sharp point, but rather the blunt end of the poker.
So we don't have an answer.
We don't have an answer. For the poker, we don't have an answer. For shchita, we have an answer. Yeah, so yeah, that's fine.
Say, if that is, if there's a sharp point.
Like you mentioned before, the motion of the shchita is back and forth. So I don't know if you can prove from that anything. Alright, sakin shel avod ha-kohanim. Here we're talking about a sakin that was used as mishamshe avodah zarah. Something that was used to worship avodah zarah. Not with sakin shel avod ha-kohanim. We're not worried yet about the issue of non-kosher. It's not the problem of non-kosher knife. Muta lishchot ba. You can do shkita with it. Ve'osur lachtoch ba basar. But you cannot use it to cut up meat with it. Muta lishchot ba mekalkelhu. You'll have to do shkita because shkita is mikalkel. Because it is a tikkun. Why is it that shkita is a mikalkel? So as Rashi points out, why is it mikalkel? Because ein zu chana. What type of hana is it if you have a dead animal? Shibichaya hayu dama mirubim. An animal is worth more alive than it is dead. Shkita. And then after it's shechta shibichaya, he omitted the gimel dvarim. While it's alive, it can be the gadel, vadladot, it can be used for mating, lecharisha for plowing, ulachila, and for eating. Once it's dead, there's only one thing you can do with it is eat it. You're actually diminishing the value of the animal by doing this shechita, and therefore you're not getting hana from the mishamshe avodah zarah. There's an isra hana on using something that was used to worship avodah zarah, used in the service of avodah zarah, and here you're using it, but you're not getting hana. Because you're actually mekalkel the animal. On the other hand, when you're mechatech the basar, when you cut the meat up into its parts so that it can be eaten, cooked, so on and so forth, over there it's clear you're getting hana. The animal as one big carcass is not worth as much as when you're metaken it. You cut it up nicely into its component pieces. So over there, you're metaken and you're getting hana, and that'd be a problem because you're getting hana from mishamshei avodah zarah. Tosos ask a very basic question, and it's very interesting. The answer has its interesting implications, which is, in Shabbos. Do you do shechita on Shabbos? Are you chayav? Yes. Wait a minute. We know that by Shabbos, kol mekalkelim beturim. Anyone who's mekalkel is patur. You just said to me now that shechita is mekalkel. Shechita is mekalkel. How could you ever be chayav for shechita on Shabbos? It's a problem of mekalkel. Tosos says, and this is another one of the exceptions, there are very few places that this actually happens. So it says, by Shabbos, the din is in Melechet Machshevet. So even though it's a kilkol, Melechet Machshevet overrides. Why? Because there is some tikkun. There is some tikkun here. It's just that the negative here is greater than the positive. Positive, now that this animal is ra'oi b'achila, it can be eaten by somebody, it's kosher meat now, because there's a proper shechita done on it. But on the other hand, it's diminished its value. So which is greater? It's clear that the diminishment in value is much greater than the benefit of the kosher meat that's here. So that diminishment in value is what we focus on over here, and that's kilkul. There is no hana. If I'm looking at just pure hana, I balance the kilkul versus the benefit. The kilkul is much greater. In Shabbos, I look at one fact. Melechet Machshevet, what did you want to accomplish? What was the end game? What did you want? I wanted an animal that was shechut. So if I do that and I accomplish that, even though technically from a monetary standpoint, if I look in the big picture, it's kilkul. Nevertheless, in Melechet Machshevet, this is mitakein. We focus on the fact that you accomplished your goal. That's mitakein. This is one of the rare occasions where Melechet Machshevet is the chumrah. Generally, Melechet Machshevet is a kula, and Dinei Shabbos are almost always the tzad kula, or more mekel, or more mekel in Dinei Shabbos than anywhere else because of Melechet Machshevet. It's a din that actually makes it harder on Shabbos to violate than anywhere else. Very few exceptions to that. One is in Baba Kama. We saw that by Bezorah the Ruach. Someone does Zoreya, not Zoreya like planting, but Zoreya L'Ruach, he's the winnowing to the wind, and the wind helps him. By Dinei Shabbos, it's Melechet Machshevet, and he is Chayav. By Dinei Zikin, if the Ruach Mesayato, it's Grama, and he's Patur. It's one place where Melechet Machshevet is L'Chumra. And over here, you see another case where it's L'Chumra. That here, when you do Shechita, it's not considered an Isra No, it's considered Mekalkel over here. Whereas by the Gabi Melechet Shabbos, because of Melechet Machshevet, it's actually the Chumra, and it'll be considered a Tikkun. Amar Rava, Pamim Shashochet Asur. Sometimes Shechita is Metaken. I mean that even with all the calculations here, the dead animal is worth more than the live animal. Misukenet. The animal is on its last legs. If you leave it, it's going to turn into a Neveva. If you shecht it, you save it, and now you have kosher meat. Right, so Misukenet, right. Obviously, that's not a Trefo. So then, and then sometimes Mechatech Mutar. Sometimes mechatech is not mitakein, but rather mekalkel. Ba'atmei dekaimin lekorbono. When you have nice sized pieces, you know, the proper sized piece that you could give as a gift. And then someone cuts it up into smaller pieces, so it's no longer a good piece to give as a gift, not as a significant gift anymore. You've actually diminished the value of this piece. It's not a given that shechita will be mekalkel and chatech will be mitakein. There are exceptions to the rule. There are times when that won't be the case. So you have to look at the cases. But generally, the principle here is, if you're metakein, it's a problem of isur hana. And if you're mekalkel, it's fine because you're not getting hana from the avodat kol chabim. Next, the Gemara says, okay, but typically, mishum shamnanit, the isura. Wait a minute. What about the Shemnanita Yisura? So this is a secondary problem. All you've dealt with here is the Isur Anoa from Avodah Zarah. What about the fact that the knife was used for Isur? If the knife is used for Isur, it has Shemnanita, it has fats on it. Those fats are now problematic when you do cut with it, because those fats are now going to get on the kosher animal. And forget about Mekalkel. What about, so it's Mekalkel, but what about all the fats on the knife that are going to rub off on the Beta Shkita? Sumar says, we're talking about the Chadasha. They made a brand new knife. A brand new knife, Chadasha, ben Rabbi Shmuel, ben Rabbi Akiva. Doesn't matter if it's Rabbi Shmuel or Rabbi Akiva. Misham Shevet Chaimim Hein, Misham Shevet Chaimim Hein, Amesur, and Shiavdu. When it comes to Avodah Zarah itself, there's a machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. When does something become Avodah Zarah? As soon as it's designated, or once it's worshipped. On the other hand, when it comes to Mishamshei Avodah Zarah, things that are used in the service of Avodah Zarah, there everyone agrees until it's used, it's not called Mishamshei Avodah Zarah. So over here, what's the question? You have a brand new knife. It's not classified as Mishamshei Avodah Zarah. What's the problem? You can use it for anything. So Gemara says, Ibai Deima, the Pasuk Bei Gavza, Laborat Kerchavim. He used it to cut wood. So if he used it to cut wood, it's now been used. It's a Mishamshei Avodah Kerchavim. We have a problem with Isra not here. But we don't have a problem with Shemnunit, because it never cut Isur. It cut wood. It didn't cut another non-kosher animal. So that's one way to answer it. Vibay Tema Bishana, that it's with an older knife. Shemlibna Be'or, that he gashered it. He did Libun. He refired the knife, so he did that, and that cleared everything off. Tosvot on the previous Amud discusses an issue that we actually discussed in Avodah Zarah. Comes up over here, which is the question of why does it require libun? Why does a knife require libun? Number one, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says to get off the shamanit, all you have to do is put it into the ground 10 times. You place it into the ground, take it out 10 times. That gets rid of the shamanit that's on the knife. That's number one. Number two is, there the Gemara says that hagalah is enough. Putting it into boiling water is enough to kash the knife. Why do I all of a sudden need a libun over here? So Tosfos, the same way he answers in Avodah Zarah, mentions over here, and number one, when it comes to needs of a ground, placing in the ground, the very famous thing, it was a kasher knife I put into the ground, that only kashers it for tzoning. That only makes it good for cold, using it for cutting cold. You dip it in the ground 10 times in hard karka, it rubs against the knife, then rubbing against the knife removes the shamnonit, removes the fats that are on the knife, and therefore the knife is now cleaned, so you can use it for cutting cold. That's fine. But when it comes to using it for hot, that will not suffice. Perhaps I need either libun or hagalah. Oh, what's the difference? Why over here does the Gemara require libun, yet the Gemara at the end of Avodah Zarah requires only hagalah? It depends on the usage of the knife. If the knife is used for items that go on the fire, and that's what the Rabbeinu Tam says. Rabbeinu Tam, hacho b'tosefta, ayri b'sakinim gidolim. They have very big knives, so tzolim b'hem basar, that they use them for roasting meat. V'avim tashmishama yidea ur. They use by fire. Lohochi by libun, and therefore they need libun. What we're talking about over in the case in Avodah Zarah, where it says hagalah, Rabbeinu Tam says it here, he says in the Tosfot as well, in the end of Avodah Zarah, that there we're talking about smaller knives that are only used in boiling water or hot items, but not in the fire itself, and therefore they only require hagalah. And then even though sometimes those knives do end up near the fire on the fire, Rabbeinu Tam dismisses that and says that that's not really a day or. A derior means that it's really used with the fire, not that occasionally it ends up in the fire. Over there, Tosfot in Avodah Zarah brings a question. He rejects partially the Rabbeinu Tam over there because of the question that he has from the Yushalmi and other places that al yedei or, the definition does not seem to be like Rabbeinu Tam. It seems to be that anything that touches fire is classified as something that requires libun. And the Tosfos over here. So Tosfos brings down over here, Hayomer Rabbi Yitzchak ben Harabi Meir. Who's that? The Rivam. The Rivam is the brother of the Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam is Rabbi Yaakov ben Rabbi Meir, and the brother of the Rashbam, Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Meir. Those are the three brothers. This is the Rivam. So the Rivam argues and says, we saw them many times. The Rashbam, the Rivam, and the Rabbeinu Tam were very prominent in Avodah Zarah. Right? They really dealt with these issues. Here the Rivam says, so Omer Ari ben Rabbi Meir, Shetzuchim Libun, Mipnei Shederchol Dechomim Latakein Behen Ner, Shedoleg Behen Chelev. Says the reason you need that is because they use the knives to fix the wicks in which they're burning the candles. The fuel for the candles in their day was fats, animal fat, which was non-kosher animal fat. So they're libun, they're touching fire in the presence of chalif. So therefore it's going to make it non-kosher. And that's why you need to de-libun. And there, the argument between the Rabbeinu Tam and the Rivam about whether they classify them as Ayyidei Ur or not, if it only sometimes touched the fire, versus if they're constantly used in the fire. That's what the Tosfos discusses at the end of Rosh Hashanah. And then Tosfos brings down the additional din, according to Rabbeinu Elchanan, that the Ni'itza Bakarka removes the Shamnunit, and then the Hagalah takes care of the Beloa, which was absorbed inside. So that's what the din is. But Ni'itza can only work, or this Hagalah only works when there are no crevices in the knife, when there is nothing in the knife where the fat can get caught and not come out. In those instances, you're going to need Libun to get it out. So the question of whether you need Libun or Hagalah and Ni'itza will deal with what the knife looks like. If the knife is totally clean and smooth, then you can do Ni'itza, you can do Hagalah, you can take care of it that way. But if the knife has crevices in it in which the fats are embedded, then you're going to require Libun to get them out. And that's the last answer that Tosfos brings from the Rabbeinu Elchanan that makes that suggestion based on the Yushami. That's the din we're dealing with here. We're dealing with the possibility of this knife of Avodah Zorah. Either it was used for wood, but not anything that was non-kosher. And that's why it's a problem of Teshmishi Avodah Zorah, but not a problem of non-kosher. Or the other possibility, it was used, and it was Libun afterwards. So Libun afterwards got rid of the problem of non-kosher, but doesn't get rid of the problem of Teshmishi Avodah Zorah. And that's why we're dealing with Teshmishi Avodah Zorah over here. Now, after Itmar, Ashechei B'Sakin Sh'ol De Chachavim, someone who chefs with a non-kosher knife, his non-kosher knife, as well as used for Avodah Zorah, Rav Amar Kolef, Rav says you have to peel off the area around the Beit HaShechita, Rav Amar Harma Mei Diach, you have to rinse it off. Let's say this is what they argue about. The Mar Sabar Beit HaShechita Tzonein, that the area where you do the Shechita is cold. It doesn't get heated over there. Mar Sabar Beit HaShechita Ruteach, the one holds, no, that the Beit HaShechita gets heated up, and then we're dealing with something hot. So the question of whether there's absorption or not depends on whether you have hot or cold over here. In terms of the blood, we don't worry about the blood, because the blood is, we're going to see in a second, is flowing at high rates out of the animal, and there's no way that it's going to absorb anything from the knife because the blood's pouring out, and neither the knife itself. The knife itself is a hard object. It does not absorb blood. The questions that we're talking about here are the fats that are there, fats that are in the knife and the fats that are in the animal. So we'll see this in 1 second. I'm just giving you a preview of how this works. So now the Gemara says, all right, no, Kuli Alma Beit HaShechita Roteach. Everybody agrees that the Beit HaShechita is hot. Mandomar Kolef Shapir. The one who says you have to peel away the area around the knife. That makes sense because the now Beit HaShechita was hot, absorbed from the non-kosher knife. It absorbed from the non-kosher knife. You have to get rid of that area, you Kolef, you peel that area off. Mandar Me Mediach. Then why is only rinsing sufficient? Aidi the Taridi Simanim Lafuke Dam Lo Bali. Since the Simanim are so busy pouring blood out, they have no time to take anything back in, absorption back in. Igadami, some say the Kuliyama Beit HaShechita Tzonein, that everybody agrees that it's a Tzonein. We're talking about a cold Beit HaShechita. Everybody agrees with that. Madomar Mediach Shapir. One says you have to rinse it off. That makes sense because any fats that are on the knife on the outside might have rubbed off. So you rinse it off and you're fine. Madomar Kolef says what? Akav Duchaka de Sakina Bala. Because of the pressure of the knife, it causes bliut. So therefore, that bliut is caused by the pressure of the knife, not by the heat that's there. Now, number one, to just explain that it must be talking about a knife that is a ben yomo. Because if it's not a ben yomo, then it's notin tam lefgam, and there's nothing to talk about. It's not that problematic, because it's notin tam lefgam, and it won't cause a problem. Rashi says, v'keim in dolo ifsik hilchaso. We don't have a psak halacha over here. Bisua doraito, and we're talking about zira doraito, abdino lechumra. We go in the chumra. The kaimala mishil torah lechachar machmir. So that's what we need, the machmir. So we go up to the machmir, that means over here, we're choshesh, that either because of duchat de sakina or because the Beit HaShechita is hot, that you have a problem, you have to be kolef. If you use a non-kosher knife for shechita, then you have to be kolef and you can't be mediach. Mikol makom, mechatchila lo yishchot. Mechatchila, you shouldn't do this. You shouldn't use a non-kosher knife, mechatchila. Even if it's not ben yomo, it's no ten tam lefgam. Generally, you say, even if it's no ten tam lefgam, we don't want you to do the mechatchila, bediavet, it's okay. Or number two is, if even if you know that you're going to be kolef, then we have to rely on a person to be kolef afterwards, and we don't want that. We want the shechita to be done with a kosher knife. So the chatchila, you shouldn't do it. If you do it, then you have to be kolef. That's the din, l'chol chumra, because we don't have the Gemara does not deal with this. Now, agab ducha de sakina, if you look in the Tosfot, he says, Rabbi Yitzchak bar Rabbi Meir, again, that's the Rivam, Hayam matzrich, lachzor l'klof b'chol makamot shechatach b'sakin mishum debala min achela v'agav ducha de sakina. Based on this halacha, the Rivam says if you use a non-kosher knife to cut meat, you have to go now and kolef all those areas. We're not talking about Beit HaShechita anymore. We're talking about any area on the animal. If you cut it, you got to cut it kolef. Ducha de sakina. The pressure of the sakin caused the shemnunit to be absorbed over there. Tosa says, what about our minog? We cut with knives all the time, and nobody ever goes and does kolif. Beit Shechita, fine, but nowhere else on the animal does anybody do it. They use the butchers to chop up the meat. He said, meaning that they did the shechita, but then they used the butcher to cut the meat up properly. They were using non-kosher knives to do that cutting of the meat, but not the shechita. That's what he describes. That's your question. Why? Ducha de sakina is not always enough. That's what the Rivam. The Rivam says, yes, like I explained to you, Ducha de Sakina, bottom line, does it, and Shemnini comes off. So it says, well, our minhag is that we use non-kosher knives for the cutting up of the meat. Why isn't it a problem? Because you need some heat. Okay, fine. The argument is whether it's a boiling. Is the Beit boiling hot, or is it just a little hot? But if it's ice cold, like the rest of the behemoth, there you won't have the problem. So that's the difference. I'll answer your question, Joel, that Ducha de Sakina may not apply unless there's some sort of form of heat there. Right now, the Gemara asks, trefa. What about sakin trefa? Sakin that was used to cut a trefa animal. Pligi ba rabacha ravina. Chadamar bechamin. You have to kasher it in hot water. Chadamar betzonei. It's enough to rinse it off. Vechil tuchada afilu betzonei. That it's enough even in cold water. Now, v'hilchata afilu b'sunein, Rashi says, v'gabi sakin shel heter hu, the pasuk hilchata le'etero. We're talking about a sakin of heter, that we say that it's heter, d'lo itzar b'bliya zu, it didn't become asr in this bliya. V'kashe hu livloa, ela yedei reticha, the only way it absorbs is through heat. Aval gabi sakin di isura, shel dek chavim b'pultedeo, lo pasuk m'meisha sakin asura, v'basar rach livloa. But there we're talking about a sakin of isur, and the basar is able to be boleya from, soft meat is able to be boleya from the knife. So over here we're talking about what's the status. Over there we're talking about a knife that was already used for Isur and absorbed Isur. Over there the animal can absorb from the knife of Isur. So over here we're talking about a knife that was used to cut a trefa. Did the knife absorb? That's the question over here. Did the knife absorb? So that question is, we're dealing with a hard object that wasn't used for Isur. So over there we say that's enough to rinse it off. You don't have to boil it up to remove it. Tosus points out over here about sakin trefa plige mashma the sakin kshera lekuli yama bitzonein. Everybody agrees that cold water can remove everything sakin. I know davka leinian lishchot ba pamacheret. So if you want to do another shechita, b'avoi demaluchlach hasakin b'dam harbei v'lav hachi yesh dam harbei b'beit hashechita min habeima atzma. There's already a lot of blood there. V'lo bolo le'mishum detreidi simanim liflotam. Avalach toch baroteach to cut hot things afilu shachar ba ksheira asur. Even if you cut a kosher animal, then you can't. You have to clean it off. You can't just cut something that's hot because then you're going to have absorption. So as long as you're doing the same process, the same shechita again, then we don't worry about this knife. But as soon as you get into hot items, then we're going to worry about all the absorption that took place, because whatever's on the knife now is going to get absorbed. So even though it's meluchlach v'dam, you're allowed to do another shechita, because we're dealing with simanim that are polei dam, they're spitting out dam, and they have no time to absorb the dam that's on the knife. So we don't worry about it. But on the other hand, if a person wants to go ahead and then take this knife, lachtoch baroteach, cut something hot, then afilu shachat b'ksheira asur. Then even if it was just a ksheira, then it's problematic, because you have the dam, you have the bliya in that knife, and if you put something hot, it's going to absorb from whatever's left over in the knife. There, you're going to need a full cleaning of the knife before you can use it for something else. V'ika blita de parsa the mikhrevei lo tzarich. If over there you have like some sandpaper to wipe the knife down, then you don't even have to wash it off, even in tzone. You can just rub it down with like sandpaper and that's enough. The mandamar bechamin, the one who says that it has to be done in hot water, my time, mishum de kabbala isura, because it's absorbing the trefa. Even when you shech the kosher animal, you should have the same problem. As he's cutting the animal is still alive. The shechit is not done until you finish the two simanim. Along the way, the heat is coming up, and the knife is absorbing the blood and the fats that it's absorbing there, and you have a hot area. So why don't you have to kasher a knife even after shechit of a kosher animal? Forget about a treifa. Emad bala, when does it absorb? The chichaimit, when it heats up. Emad kachaima, when does it get hot? The chigamer shechita, only at the end of shechita. The beit shechita only heats up by the end of the shechita, not in the beginning. By the time it gets to the end of the shechita, it's already heter. So by a kosher animal, when it's fine, then we don't worry about Eivar Mina Chai, don't worry about Itzur, because by the time the heat comes, the animal is already heter, and you don't have to worry about it. Again, not the blood, because the blood doesn't, it's a hard object. The blood, we're not worried about, we're about the chelev and the fats that would go into the knife. They're the fats of a kosher animal, we don't worry. By trefa, where the animal remains asur, even when you reach the end of the shechita, there we worry about the absorption, that's why you need hot to remove it. The difference also, why we require ni'itza 10 times in the ground, is over here we just say use some sandpaper and it's fine. Tosfos points out the difference over here is because over there we're talking about a knife of Ovdei Kochavim, a non-kosher knife that was used over and over and over again in non-kosher situations. So there you're going to need nitzah 10 times in the ground to clean it off, because it's going to take a lot to get it off. On the other hand, over here, where we're talking about a Krei Balma, you hit a treifa one time, he shechs, it's a treifa. Over there, then, just using the sandpaper is enough to clean off the knife. You're not going to need to do nitzah 10 times in the ground. Okay, the Gemara says now, I'm Rabbi Yehuda Merav. A tabach tzarich shlosha sekinim. Tabach needs three knives. Achat sheshechitpa, achat shemetech ba'basar, v'achat shemetech tabach halavim. One to do the shechita, one to cut the meat up afterwards, and one to cut up the fats. Gemara says, litkan le'echado. Let us just have one knife. Belichtoch ba basar, ada lichtoch ba chalavim. Just do the cutting of the meat first, and then the chalavim second. So gzeira shem yichtoch chalavim v'chagach basar. We're worried they'll cut the fats first, which are isur, and then afterwards they'll go cut the basar. Where it says hashtanami michlaflei. So what? He has two knives. He might mix up the knives. Where it says kevin ditzrichu trei itlei hakeira. Once we already make him take two knives, he's going to make sure he has it marked which knife is for which. He's not going to get confused. So he requires one knife for shkita, because we're afraid that it'll get nicked or something will cause a problem. Person, a knife for shkita is very unique, and he's got to keep for shkita. If he cuts masar with the chalavim, he's going to ruin the knife. That's just a practical issue. The second issue about is a kashrut issue, which we don't want him cutting the fats and then the meat. So therefore, we separate it out and make him have two knives for that, because we don't want the knife that was used with the fats and then go ahead and cut the meat up with it afterwards. Now the next, Amar Vidam Rab, Tabak Tzarek Shnei Kelim. Needs two kelim, shomayim. Echad shemidiach bo basar, one in which he washes the meat, echad shemidiach bo chalavim, one in which he washes the fats. Benitken leichado, let's have one, benidiach bo basar, first rinse the meat, v'hadar nidiach bo chalavim, and then afterwards the fats. Xer, shema yadiach chalavim, that'll put the fats in first, v'achakacha basar, and then the basar. Ashtanami michlaflei, go mix up the pots of water. Since he requires two, we don't worry about it, because there is a heker between them. We're worried about the water that has the fats in them, and then when his hands are moving around the meat, it's going to cause the fats to stick to the meat, and we don't want that to happen. Therefore, we tell him, keep it separate, keep the meat separate and the chalavim separate. The same thing with the knife itself. We're worried about the fact that if he cuts the fats first, the knife will have fats on it, and the fats will get into the meat.